The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But for as you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. So the story that Miss Anna read to us about Elijah the prophet and about the widow and her son was a story about abundance. And abundance means having plenty of whatever we need for our ordinary lives. Healthy food and clean water and fresh air, just to start with. But we can hear in the story that that was not the case for Elijah, a widow, the mom, and her son. And a widow is somebody where the dad had died. And so it was just she and her son. And because they were in the midst of a severe drought, which had dried up all the good water and had ruined the crops, they were at a real disadvantage and she hardly had anything left. So there was just not her, but a lot of people in the land who didn't have enough and were very poor at this point. And Elijah was also a stranger to her, a stranger that had been sent by God to this town of Zarephath. That was the name of the town. Our town is Longmeadow, but their town was Zarephath. And he sent Elijah especially to this widow, and he said, "This widow will feed you." God said that even in desperate times, that there would be enough. And yet, Elijah already knew. He'd already gotten to the point where he'd used up all his food, and he wasn't sure whether he would find this widow and whether this widow would feed him. And yet he trusted in God's word. He trusted in what God told him. And you know what? That's what prophets do. They trust God. And prophets also listen. They have this prayer life that allows them to listen for what God wants them to do. And they hear God's word and they share it with everybody. That's what prophets do. They speak God's words and truth to us. And then they do the next right thing for God's people, especially those with the greatest need. In other words, prophets, like Elijah, show God's love to others just the way Jesus did for us. Now, there are two miracles in this story. Can anybody tell me the first miracle? What's the miracle that you heard in this story? That's right. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, there was the widow. She was standing there picking up sticks. So that's one. Now there are three miracles. What's another miracle?
Food enough.
That's right. God said that Elijah said that God said that there would be enough meal, that the meal would never run out, and that the jug of oil would never run out until there came rain. So what is the last miracle?
The widow trusted Elijah?
Yeah, it was. You know what? She literally... Widows are like in the Bible are really awesome people. They are so courageous. And she gave the last of her food, the food that she knew, after which she just figured this would be their last meal and that then she and her son would die. But instead, she trusted in what God, there was something about the way he talked to her, the way they were getting to know each other, that mattered, and she trusted in him. She knew he was a man of God. And I think she does that out of her strong faith in the power of hospitality, and also her trust in the abundant goodness of God. But the hospitality piece is really important. So hospitality, you guys know what that word means? Okay, let me tell you the short version. So hospitality is about welcoming and caring for new people that God sends to us. As churches, we do it here. As towns and cities, like they did in Zarephath, and we do here in Longmeadow. And also as a country, the whole country. Practice these wonderful ways of accepting people and taking care of new people in their midst. And the widow trusts Elijah and wants to get to know him better. She recognizes that this is the next right thing to do. And at the same thing happens to Elijah, because he wants to get to know her. And he knows that meeting her and getting to know her was going to matter to God. And it also matters to all of us. We have actually an abundance of people here at St. Andrew's. If you guys stand up and look at all these people out here, and there are more of them that aren't here this morning, but look at all these people. We're a lot of people. There you go. Miss Patty's waving to you back there. We have a lot of people here. We have an abundance of people here at church who can help us to welcome and care for all the people who are struggling to survive, who don't have enough healthy food or clean water or fresh air. And God wants us to get to know these people as friends and neighbors. That was Jesus' commandment to us, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because God knows we will be all better off and live more abundant lives by working together. So raise your hand if you're willing to join Elijah and the widow in Zarephath and her son in showing God's abundant love for the world through our trust and actions right here at St. Andrew's. Raise your hand if you're willing to help. Yay. Turn around and see lots of people are raising their hands back there. That's the way a church works, that we all join together in these acts of kindness and hospitality. And to that abundant response, I say, amen. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew your whole creation, nature, and grace soul and body, and all manner of matter. Move in and around us and fill us with your creative energy and extravagant light. May our hearts be open, may our hearts be stirred for the work of love to which you call us and the hope of the world for which we labor. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I would invite you to be seated for the second message. So usually I do a children's message right now, but today it's going to be an adult message. So, you heard about Elijah from the Old Testament, but you know what? We preach the gospel on Sunday morning. And our gospel this morning actually asks us the question, to what am I attached today that keeps me from following Jesus fully and freely? What are our but firsts? Did you hear the but firsts in there? Oh yeah, I'll go ahead and follow you. But first, I need to go home and say goodbye. But firsts, we all have them. We do it all the time. I bet the kids can even give us a few but firsts that they hear. Jesus, though, today has his face set toward Jerusalem. We know why, but his disciples only have an inkling. And they're still in denial of the real truth of what's going to happen. For Jesus, though, there's no more diversions, no more but first. He's truly now living in the fullness of time, in the fullness of his time, his mission, in the fullness of the work God has given him to do. He is on his journey to the new Exodus, to the new creation. And there is no turning back. Now, everyone who has ever plowed a field, how many have plowed a field? A few, good, or watched somebody plow a field, knows that the minute you look back, your straight line becomes a curve and it goes off kilter. And that's the way Jesus is looking at everything. Following Jesus takes a true on-center heart where our commitment comes out of our abundance of love for what Jesus has done for us. Now, we can all think or we can remember images of Jesus in stories we've heard where he is heartsick or brokenhearted, or the other phrase that Luke uses is full of compassion. We've even seen Jesus cry. But today, Jesus is wholehearted. Wholehearted. He isn't going to turn away to argue a point of who is right or why others might be wrong. He now has God's work fully in sight, and he's abundantly clear about the uselessness of distractions at this point. There are those times in all our lives, our ordinary lives, where we have to get on center and recognize there are no but firsts to what we need to do next. Abundance in all forms comes with responsibilities and accountability and the integrity to stare down our truth just as Jesus did. So it's important to ask ourselves the question I started this with: to what am I attached today that keeps me from following Jesus fully and freely? And the words of Psalm 16 actually give us a prayer to say to Jesus. And those words are a prayer to God. I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not fall. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. And in your presence, there is a fullness of joy. A fullness of joy. And in your hand, God, are pleasures forevermore. And so now I send you forth with this blessing. May you always set your whole heart toward the fullness of ordinary time with God's joy, love, and abundance. And the blessing of God, who created us with abundance of love, his Son, who gave the abundance of his life, death, and resurrection fully and freely, and the Holy Spirit, who opens joy through the abundant possibilities in our every waking moment, be with you and all those you love. Amen.